Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always,
Graham K. Yes, I am here in spirit. I'm on the phone pretty much as always. I'm on the phone. But I'm in my parents' basement again.
Oh, you're back like for Christmas.
Reoccurring theme. Yep, I'm in my parents' basement beside the furnace. I've instructed my parents to leave me alone. I'll be in the basement podcasting.
And such a comedian.
I think they know what podcasting is. I hope they understand. I didn't think I said something else. but yeah, that's what's happening. And I'm in the basement, and I'm in a rocking chair, and it's fun to rock in a rocking chair, you know? But yeah, that's it. Things are good. I just got back from a big trip. I was in the Caribbean again, doing comedy on a cruise. And I went from 80 degrees to, in 3 hours later, I was in minus 13 degrees. So, you know.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Wow. You're getting all of it. You're getting all of it. All the everything your body can handle. A little hot, a little cold. Ah, that's great, man.
I like a 100 degree swing in 3 hours.
Wait a minute. Now, do you guys say Caribbean or is it Caribbean? I'm so confused. What are we supposed to be saying in America? Caribbean?
I think it goes by region. I don't know. Okay. I get confused. I just go, I grew up saying what my mother told me it's Caribbean. But I think maybe they say Caribbean. I don't know. Caribbean.
We could look it up, but we won't.
Jamaicans go, just say it in a Jamaican accent, because that's the answer. Caribbean.
Two white guys doing Jamaican accents for an hour. That's not annoying.
Caribbean.
Welcome to the islands. We'll call it the islands. There you go. Oh, that's
there
great,
you go.
Man. We're there a week?
There a week. Got back 2 days ago. Didn't get a cold, which is always awesome. When you come back from a cruise and you have a 100 degree swing, you're like susceptible.
Yeah, of course.
And then started hanging out with my brother. Anyway, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism, right?
This is. We are two comedians who have autistic loved ones in our lives. My name is Kirk. I have a severely autistic 19-year-old son, JJ, who I love very much. And tell us about your brother, Pete.
My brother Pete is 33 years old, and he's doing great, and he lives on his own, but he's somewhere in the middle end of the spectrum, but he's a hard worker, and he's doing awesome, and we're really proud of him.
That's great. Now, this week you hung out with him, right? You're telling me off the air?
Yeah, yesterday, my brother and I, went to dinner with my two friends from high school, and they are basically his two friends now. They stay in communique. I think I talked about it. I talked about this instance where he told me about my friend's divorce.
Oh, that's these
my friend
guys.
Told me.
Nice.
Yeah, these guys. My buddy Mike and my buddy Andrew, and they're great guys. And Peter was so pumped to go have pizza and beer with Mike and Andrew. He was like, kind of thing where, like, I was, you know, getting ready to leave, and I was upstairs, and I looked down the stairwell, and my brother had come so I could drive him. And my brother was already dressed 10 minutes before, just waiting.
That's great. He's excited.
His boots on and his jacket, and
just hanging out with the boys.
He loves those guys. Hanging out with the boys. That's it. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, people his age, and he looks up to us a bit, I think, and
that's because you're freakishly tall.
We're all tall. We're all tall, though.
Yeah, it's Canada. Peter, what are you all, like 6'3"?
I was the second tallest. Mike is about 6'2", and Peter's 6'1". Yeah. I'm 6'4", Andrew's 6'5".
Wow. So 6'5". Those are real Canadian men. Lumberjacks.
Yeah. Yeah. We eat properly. We're full of pizza, so it's good. So we had a pizza dinner, and Peter has gained weight. My mother was right; he is getting chubby. I know our listeners know about the Peter saga of him going up and down in weight.
Yep.
I think a lot. It's a popular problem with people with autism, and a lot of the parents listening, I'm sure, are struggling with the same thing.
And around the holidays, yeah.
But you know, a year ago, as our listeners know, Peter was told by our doctor that he needs to lose weight, and Peter did lose weight. I think he lost about 10 pounds. He started exercising and keeping track of it and stuff, and he fell off the wagon big time. Oh. And he's gained like another 20 pounds, and he's a big boy. He looks a little bigger, and you know, that was what most of our discussion revolved around dinner last night. But we did have a lot of other great conversations, and Peter was, you want to spend the whole time scolding Peter, you know?
Of course not.
So it was like my friends are really good at, you know, they know the protocol, light suggestions, you know what I mean? Keep it light. And, you know, we mostly talked about how good the pizza was. Peter had two beers, and the guy can pound some pizza. So can I, though. I'm not going to lie. I think at one point, Andrew was like, my buddy Andrew was like, UK boys can really pound that pizza. Jeez. we had to order extra. At one point, I mentioned my buddy went through a separation with his wife, and you know, he's basically telling us all about it, and you know, pouring his heart out, and Andrew loved this story. Andrew, I did a quick little interview with my iPhone after to put on this podcast as part of this week in review, and so we're going to play that in a minute. But Andrew, after the interview, was like, "Oh, I forgot to say this because Peter makes me laugh, and I forgot to say that." Like one of the reasons why I like hanging out with Peter so much is he makes me laugh.
That's
great. So like Mike's talking about like, you know, what's going on and everything like that with the separation and stuff. And then he looks over at Peter, and Peter is, we've been talking about working out, and Peter is rolling up the sleeve and smiling and flexing and pointing at his muscles, looking at Andrew and pointing at his muscles and flexing, and Andrew starts laughing
so
hard.
Mike's pouring his heart out about losing his wife.
Peter's like, check these muscles out. I work out. But anyway.
I don't know if it's going to work out. I'm just really broken up about the whole thing, and Peter's over there flexing.
Yeah. Look at this.
Like these guns?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So
let's roll it.
Let's play the interview.
All right, we just finished a pizza dinner with a couple beers with Peter. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
And my good friends, Mike and Andrew. Here's Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
That was Andrew at the end there. And I was like, well, you know, these guys take care of Peter and hang out with them. They're friends. You're better friends. You said to me, you're like, Peter, right? You said, I think I'm better friends with Mike and Andrew than you are now. Peter's shaking, yes. They all hang out. I'm in Ottawa for the holidays. So the four of us had pizza. And I was like, let me take this opportunity to ask Mike and Andrew just simple questions, like what they like about Peter. And I'll start with Mike.
So what do I like about Peter, my friend Peter? I would say Peter is one of the most organized people that I know. And Peter takes very great pride in having his personal affairs well organized and well scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been a source of inspiration for me, right, Peter? Sometimes I've told you I wish I could take care of some of my things in this as well as you do. Like garbage chores and laundry tasks and things like that.
Yeah. Peter has a very big smile on his face, and he's nodding yes.
Yeah, this is true, yeah. I think one of the biggest things I like about Peter is that he's the most honest person I've ever met. Yeah, and Peter reminds me, by how honest he is, how much I value honesty in other people, because I see it in Peter so much. And you've always been very direct with me, Peter, and I really respect that. That's why I always try and answer every question that you have, even if some other people might not like some of those questions.
It's a good answer. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. That's very nice. What did you think about that, Peter?
It was great.
Yeah? It was great, wasn't it?
But I don't want to repeat myself too much.
That's okay. You did a good job this dinner. You didn't repeat yourself too
much. But for this Monday, December 18th, I exercised this morning for a couple of times.
Oh, that was good.
You did a great job. Okay, we're going to ask Andrew the same question.
Yep.
It doesn't, you know.
Heavy hitters.
Yeah. You don't have to, you know.
No, I won't go too deep. I won't go too deep like Mike. Or maybe I will. I don't know. I didn't really think about it too much ahead of time. I guess I like how Peter keeps things simple. And I like that there's not like a mean bone in your body type of thing. You're very like pure, I guess.
Yeah.
And whenever we talk, you're always focused on, well, no, sometimes you're focused on negative things that seem to come up repeatedly, but you're always like striving to move past them. And you always say good things about the people that you care about. And I like that you always are reaching out to me and to Mike. And you always talk about your brother, who obviously is important to me too. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's just different. It's different from the people I interact with every day. But it's positive, you know?
Yeah.
That was great. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, another thing.
Sure.
Well, Andrew, I don't think negative stuff comes onto me as much as it did.
No.
You're doing great. What'd you think of what Andrew said?
I think what Andrew said was great.
Yeah, I think so too.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike and Andrew, for doing that. That's really nice. And that's it. I just thought I'd, you know, get these guys' thoughts because they're a big part of Peter's life, and he loves them very much. Okay, that's it. Bye.
Ah, that's great, man. That's good stuff.
They're good guys. I'm so lucky. So lucky to have such good friends.
Yeah.
You know? And it there's a lot of guilt for me, you know, because I'm away from Peter, and it just helps to have such good friends like that that take care of him, you know?
Yep.
So, and they just do it. They like it. They're just good people. They don't, I keep being like, thank you. Can I buy you dinner? And they're like, screw you. I do this for me. I like Peter. So
that's
I'm just
amazing,
lucky.
Dude. Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
How are you doing? What's up with your week in review?
My week was less eventful. Christmas is a tough time for a lot of us, obviously. I had a good call today with little JJ, and he's doing good. He's down this year about 25 pounds. He's doing good.
Huge. Awesome. Man.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's what they do at a lot of facilities where they physically lock the fridge. There is a lock on both fridges after, I think, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And so it's like, because the thing is, he just gets bored and he likes food. And so it's like, you know, you just ate dinner. You can't be hungry. So he's doing good on the weight. And when I was over there last week, 10 days ago, I bought him this, we got this remote control car and all these gifts. And so just excited. Christmas is this week, and so I want to see the pictures, and we'll load those on Facebook. He's messing with this horse again. He likes to take this horse for a walk that they take him to, and
A real horse.
Real horse. Yeah, he likes horses.
Cool.
It's funny. Dogs kind of scare him, but horses do not scare him at all. We tried this horse therapy years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And he remembers it, I think. You know, he just likes horses, and that's one of the few times he'll talk. He'll say walk on to a horse to get it to walk. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. And what else
wow.
is going on with him? Yeah,
maybe because horses are less jumpy, they're less sketchy. They're like calm.
They're calm, yeah. They'll just stand there and he can like pet them and they won't move and they won't, yeah.
Dogs stress me out sometimes. There's like sensory overload sometimes. Yep, and they're jumping around.
That's what he doesn't like, the little ones. If it's a big dog and it moves slow, he's fine. If they move quickly, he's not a fan.
No, yeah. I get that.
He started swimming again, so they're swimming once a week. He really likes the water, like a lot of kids or people with autism. They enjoy the water. And so, he's doing good. He's doing, you know, Christmas is tough.
Funny, Peter loves the water.
Okay.
He's always loved water. It's interesting. There's little things I learned from this podcast about Peter every week.
You're like, oh, Peter likes that too.
No, I honestly never thought I would learn a lot about Peter doing this podcast. I know it's stupid to think now. It sounds dumb looking back on it, but it's like, you know, once a week, a little nugget. I'm like, yeah. He loves the water.
Peter
makes sense.
The same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
No, it's all right. So that's it. That's what we can review. We got a couple good articles. You want to go through the articles?
Yeah. This one is the one that you found really interests me.
Okay. This is. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, sorry, we're doing this over the phone, guys. So every once in a while, there's a little, a little talking over each other. This is in the Washington Post. The link between autism and older patients is clear, but the why is not. And I'll read the first few paragraphs, and we can talk about it. Older men and women are more likely than young ones to have a child with autism, according to multiple studies published in the last decade. Especially regarding fathers, this one is the most consistent finding in the epidemiology. I said that word wrong. I'm close. Of autism. The link between the mother's age and autism is more complex. Women seem to be at increased risk both when they're much older and much younger than average, according to some studies. Nailing down why either parent's age influences autism risk is difficult to prove, however. How do we know that older men are at an elevated risk of fathering a child with autism? We've gathered data from a large number of families and calculated how often men of different ages have a child with autism. After the first rigorous study of the type published in 2006 drew the medical records of 132 Israeli adolescents, it showed that men in their 30s were 1.6 as likely to have a child with autism as men younger than 30. Men in their 40s had a six-fold increase in risk. Since then, scientists have conducted similar analysis of data born and blah, 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 blah. Now, here's what gets interesting. What might explain why older men are at an elevated risk of having a child with autism? The most prominent hypothesis is that the sperm of the older men has accumulated more spontaneous mutations than the men pass along to their child. Sperm divide more often than eggs do, and with each division, a cell's DNA is copied, presenting an opportunity for mutations to occur. One analysis of families in Iceland showed that with each passing year, a man transmits an average of two more spontaneous mutations to his child. Studies in mice confirm that pups of older male mice are relatively large number of mutations. This hypothesis is consistent with the observation that a child with autism who has an older father tends to be the only child with autism in the family, but other factors contribute as well. A mathematical model of autism inheritance indicates that the mutations account for no more than 20% of the increase of autism among children of older families. Now here's what gets really interesting. It's possible that the connection runs the other way. Men who are likely to father a child with autism may have children relatively later in life. These men may have autism traits that delay their ability to find a partner. So,
wow,
it's almost like the more we know, the less we know.
But well, yeah.
So
that's very interesting, and I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if I have traits. I'm like, I'm not joking. Like
on the spectrum.
I mean, I'm not on the spectrum, but I have a lot of traits. The more I learn about autism through this podcast, I'm like, yeah, I don't like a lot of stuff, and I always had all these learning disabilities growing up. And
well,
I don't know.
We covered.
And I don't have good kids. I got no kids. 36, zero kids.
We covered that article where it's like that. Remember, it said that basically everybody's on the spectrum at some degree or another. Like,
sure.
So that's what I meant by on the spectrum. Yeah, that's it's interesting. Yeah, I don't want to read the whole article because it's very long, and you guys can read it.
Yeah, no, that's suggestive. Where is it, and where can people find
it's
it?
The Washington Post, and honestly, I'm going to post it right now on Facebook so that I don't forget. So if you want to read this article, I think it is interesting. It's, you know, I'm older than you by quite a bit, and I would have kids again. And so it's something to think about. I just posted the article.
Yeah, but you believe in God and all that, you know? I'm serious.
I know, but I like all that at the end of that. It's so condescending.
Yeah, there's all sorts of other stuff that comes with it.
You know, God and all that witchcraft. I think it's interesting. Now we have another article. Graham, you wanna intro this next article?
Sure, I absolutely will. This is a good article. It's helpful, and it has to do with Christmas. You know, we're recording this 5 days away from Christmas, and there might be some helpful hints for all the holiday parties that are coming up. Go ahead.
This is Grandfather's article. It's 5 ways to help a child with autism over Christmas, and it's in the Metro UK again. It seems like we're always doing these UK articles. You notice that?
Mm-hmm. Every time.
So it talks about 5 things, and I'll cut to the chase and get to the 5. Number 1, prepare in advance. Talk to your child about what is happening in the day and prepare for each transition and change. 2, stick to the usual strategies. Stick to your child's sensory strategies and increase opportunities for calming and organizing activities. 3, try to avoid sensory overload. This is the one we have a hard time with, the lights and the noise and the music. And yeah, he doesn't like that very much. And 4, schedule downtime. Make sure that downtime stays in the diary as it would with any other time of the year. It's so easy to fill it up with quote-unquote busyness, and we forget that our neurological systems still need time to be calm, still, and quiet. And 5, make the sensory experience fun. You can make cinnamon Play-Doh, use shaving cream foam as snow, and make a winter wonderland on a tray. Yeah, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is a good little article, I think.
Yeah, and let me just add some legitimacy to the article. The person who gave the advice is Vicky Ruffle, and she's an occupational therapist and founder of Jigsaw Occupational Therapy. She trains schools and parents and aids children with sensory integration issues and other disabilities. So, yeah, I don't know. Some helpful hints, right?
Yeah, the one hint I would add is that we talk about this a lot, but that your idea of Christmas or your dreams of what you want isn't always going to be what they want. And so that's what I try to tell myself. Like this,
right.
this is fun for me. This is not necessarily fun for him. And I'm not sure if he understands that this is the celebration of our Savior's birth. And so just cut him some slack and let him enjoy the candy and the cakes and he doesn't have to, sounds obvious, but I went through years of trying to get him to experience it the way I would experience it, which was a complete waste of time.
I appreciate your honesty as always, Kirk. Lovely talking to you. I'm glad you're doing well. Merry Christmas
Merry
to you.
Merry Christmas, man. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And
happy Hanukkah
to all you you Jewish people out there, and whatever you celebrate, anybody else celebrates this time of year. I don't know if anybody still celebrates Kwanzaa, but if you do, happy Kwanzaa. And we are this is Autastic, and you can find us you can find Kirk and I both on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Graham KOK, Kirk Smith comedy.
Instagram's what I'm pushing right now. Get me on Instagram, guys.
Get him on Instagram. He loves the gram. The kids love the gram. And that's, as always, guys, if you haven't left a review on iTunes, I know we ask every week, but it really helps us reach other people. If you like this podcast and you think other people would like it too in the autistic community, an easy way to help us reach other people is just giving us a good review and writing a little review as well. So 5 stars, and then you write a review, and then the iTunes algorithm pushes, it sort of advertises our podcast more because it thinks it's good and it's not crap. If that makes any sense,
yeah, you're right.
But that's the theory behind that. We'd like that, and also patreon.com/autastic. That's where you can donate $1 an episode or $5 an episode. That really helps us keep going, paying for all the storage fees for the podcast and all that kind of stuff. And
there's equipment, mics, recording stuff. People ask sometimes what it's for. There's equipment involved with recording something like this, even over the phone. And so, your stuff goes to... Your dollars go to help us buy equipment to record the podcast, and we appreciate it.
I recorded a podcast over the phone from, I think I was in Haiti last week, and it cost me $50.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. well, long distance fees and all that stuff. So it got me, but that's okay. You know, it's worth it. We love you guys. Thanks so much for, if you've already donated, Merry Christmas to you. And we appreciate it. And that's it, I think. That's all I got. You got anything else?
That's it. You can do it, guys. We love you.
Yeah.